This is After the Gridiron, a podcast featuring interviews with retired football players. Thank you for tuning in to the show. Before we get to the episode, please make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. Today, another player shares his incredible football journey with us and talks about his life after the gridiron. You're going to love it. Enjoy. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of After the Gridiron. I am your host, Lyle Green, and we have another great guest lineup for you today. Today, we have one of the best safeties ever playing in the NFL, Steve Atwater. So Steve played 11 years in the NFL with the Denver Broncos and 1 year with the New York Giants. He came out of the University of Arkansas and was drafted in the great draft of 1989. That's an amazing draft that had five Hall of Famers come out of that draft. He was an eight-time Pro Bowler with the Broncos, two-time Super Bowl champion, and is a 2020 Hall of Fame inductee. So he's going to be going to the Hall of Fame this year. So, Steve, thanks for coming on and welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Lyle. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate your time for sure. So, to start off, first I want to say ask you, how things are going with you and your family in amongst this COVID-19 situation.
Yeah, everything's going okay. We're all healthy and, you know, we're doing our social distancing, trying to stay positive. That's the biggest thing, I think, just trying to keep a positive mindset. And yeah, we're just not used to having to stay in the house and not go out, not be around people. But fortunately, we have each other, and that's been a blessing.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, there's it's definitely a tough time for everyone. I guess it's a time that we can kind of appreciate our family and the time that we have with them during this ordeal, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so let me go back to your time at Arkansas. So I read that you actually went to Arkansas as a quarterback, and then you got moved to safety. Is that correct?
Yeah, I got moved to safety. I want to say it was the first week, like 3 or 4 days after we had started practicing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Coach Hatfield moved me. And to be honest with you, I think that they had that in mind all along. Just, you know, when I think back to my high school playing days, I wasn't that great of a quarterback. You know, I threw some interceptions and I go down and I make the tackle. Yeah. And I think they kind of lured me in with the idea that I would play. But, you know, the old switcheroo. Unfortunately, that ended up working out well for me.
Oh, yeah, definitely worked out for you. So while you were with Denver, did you have any talks with them, Dan Reeves, to put you on offense, or Shanahan to put you on some offensive plays?
No, we had good guys who were much better than I was. And by then, I had some shoulder issues, and I couldn't quite throw it the way that I used to when I was younger. So
okay.
We had plenty of guys who – run the offensive side of the ball that could throw the ball. Rod Smith, he was great at throwing the ball. You know, we had several other guys, of course, the backup quarterbacks too, but
yeah, no,
so didn't need me over there.
All right. That's cool. So you gave up the quarterback dream. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about that 89 draft. It was, like I mentioned earlier, one of the greatest drafts of NFL history with five Hall of Famers drafted in the first round. So talk about that draft, and did you guys, expected that the talent level is at that level that it was, or is it just talk about your time at the draft?
Yeah, well, I knew there were some really, really good players in the draft the year that I came out. And I think Troy Aikman, you know, he was a first rounder, of course. Barry Sanders, Deion Sanders, Derek Thomas.
Yeah,
and you know, I had heard about a lot of these guys. It's the only I'd only played against a couple of them. I played against Troy Aikman and Mike Irvin came out the year before. I guess Troy maybe the only one. I didn't play against. We didn't play Florida State back then. It was. We thought it was a good draft, but you never know until the end, the end of the careers.
Once the careers are done, yeah.
Yeah, how good it really was.
Yeah, just amazing draft. I've grew up a Cowboys fan, so I was definitely happy with the select of Aikman. But yeah, looking back at all the amazing players that were available in that draft, it's just amazing. And I didn't even mention some of the other players, some Pro Bowlers as well, like Andre Rison was a part of that draft as well. So just some amazing players were drafted in that year.
Yeah, a lot of guys that we've kind of forgotten about, man. The guy we call Sandman, Broderick Thomas,
Yeah.
he was in that draft. And like I say, Andre Rison, Lewis Oliver, Robert Massey, a whole bunch of guys, man. And we were some of the fortunate ones to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But some of those guys really had really good careers. They may not be in the Hall of Fame, but they still had a nice career in the NFL.
Oh yeah. I was looking over the list of names, and there's definitely a lot of names that I recognize, and a lot of guys who had great careers for sure. All right, so let's talk about your time in Denver. You're picked by the Broncos. Were you expecting to go to them, or is it a shock that they picked you?
No, well, I had talked to the scouts. I met them when I played at the East-West Shrine Game. And it was in Palo Alto at Stanford at the time. And they come out to my pro day at Arkansas and tie me, and we all got along really well. But I didn't know. I just thought they were nice guys, man. I didn't know
Yeah.
the interest was that high. And then when they traded down with the Cleveland Browns traded up to 13, and they traded down to 20 in the 1989 draft.
Okay.
I was kind of keeping my fingers crossed, hoping, but still, I didn't have any clue. And to be honest with you, I didn't even know if I would get drafted in the first round.
Oh, really?
I get drafted sometime, on that first day. A lot of guys there, they just know, man. They're like, oh man, I should have went the top 10.
Top
And
three, yeah,
for
exactly.
me, I was like, I just hope I go the first day.
Yeah, definitely have the different expectations for different guys. Dion was famous for saying that he wouldn't talk to anyone that's picking after like number five, I think, or something like
Right.
that. So different
I
expectation.
can do
Yeah. Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, you're an eight-time Pro Bowler and two-time Super Bowl champion. So talk about finally breaking through and winning that Super Bowl 32 that you guys won in, I think it was 98.
Oh man, that was a big treat for not only our team and coaches, but for the state of Colorado. Really, I think we represented the AFC, really, because the AFC at that time hadn't won a Super Bowl. I want to say it was like 12, 13, 14 years. And I'm sure a lot of teams, although we were in the same division, they still were pulling for us to get over the hump with the NFC. And we had a really good team, and guys just played together. And Terrell Davis, John Elway, Shannon Sharp, all those guys on the offensive side, and all our guys on the defensive side, Neil Smith and Ray Crockett, Tyrone Braxton, Alfred Williams, all those guys, man. Everybody showed up, and we played good football, and we were able to get that win for the state of Colorado and for us.
Definitely, definitely a great breakthrough. Sorry for the Orange Crush for you guys, and finally get over that hump for John is the famous words of the owner. This one's for John, that gets played over and over. But definitely a lot of guys benefited from that great season that you guys had. All right, so let's talk about the Hall of Fame induction. That you made it into the Hall of Fame this year. Tell me where you were when you finally got the call that you're going to make it into the Hall of Fame.
Well, we were in our hotel room, and as you know now, once if you don't get in, they'll give you a call. But if you do get in, they'll knock on your door. David Baker, the president of the Pro Football Hall of Fame,
Oh, that's how it goes. Okay.
he knocks on your door. So we were in the hotel room waiting, and actually, one of my friends, he's a guy who's a reporter here in Denver, Mike Kliss, he called right during that time, and I thought that I was getting the call from David Baker
Oh
that
no. You weren't gonna make
Yeah. And then I looked at my phone, like, what is he doing calling me right now?
it.
So I
Yeah.
declined the call, and everyone in the room with me, we all just celebrated that we were still in it. And then about 10 minutes later, David Baker came knocking on the door, and it was one of the great days of my life.
Nice, nice. So who was in the room with you to share that, to share that moment?
Yeah, it was my wife, Lita, my middle son, DeAndre. We didn't bring everybody just because we, you know, we weren't sure if we were going to get in. If I would have known, I would have gotten in. I would have
everybody had big party. Yeah.
Yeah, but my middle son, DeAndre came with us, and then my best, one of my good friends, Mac Freeman, one of my best friends here in Denver, he was in the room with me as well.
Okay, oh, nice, very nice. It's great having friends and family to share in such a great moment for you. So, before we finish off here, so let's ask you about transitioning to life after football. So you played 11 years, you finished off with 1 year with the Jets. So talk about how things went in your transition out of football.
Yeah, well, I think it went okay. You know, several years after I retired, the NFL, they have this program called a career transition program. I'm not sure if it's NFL, NFLPA, but they may be working together for this program for retired players. And I attended that program, and, you know, we had probably – 50, 60 guys at least in the room.
Oh, wow.
And we were all talking, and they broke us up into groups, and had us write on the board, like some of the things that we missed about the game. And, you know, once we left, you know, what did we feel like, things that were different. And, you look on everyone's board, they had kind of the same things, you know, that, they missed the structure. We all missed, you know, kind of being in the spotlight a little bit. And, you know, just miss being in the locker room with the guys. And, you know, guys, you know, of course, you got teary eyed, and it was really an emotional moment, you know, just hearing, you know, people's stories. And, but that was like several, that was probably 10 years, at least 10 years after I finished playing. And, I look back and I thought, man, I went through that, man. I went through some depression, but I didn't really talk to anyone about it. I just kind of came through it, you know. I would be in my basement. I wouldn't want to talk to anyone. I wanted lights down low, and you know, I just kind of want to isolate a little bit. But I always fortunately stayed busy. You know, kind of had an idea of what I wanted to do. I loved real estate, loved investing in the stock market. And, you know, I was doing both of those things, but I still was a little bit depressed.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough transition for every player to, you know, transition from, you know, like you said, being in the spotlight and you know, having the fans cheering for you and all that to when you're not playing, then not having all of that. So it can be tough and can be a difficult situation. But like you said, you made it through it, and would have been nice, I guess, to have that support system in place when you did retire. But at least you
got the experience. Yeah, and even though, I can understand what I was going through. And I would say, you know, probably 95, maybe even 100% of the guys go through something similar to that. And to even know that when you're finishing the game, you can, I think, prepare a little bit better for what's to come. And then just, you know, talk to people and make sure that you're not isolating yourself away from, you know, a lot of people who care about you and the guys that you play with.
Exactly. Is that the advice you'd give to a player? What advice would you say for someone that's?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And when I talk to guys, I try to tell them just don't hold it in. You know, normally, whatever you're going through, somebody has already gone through it and can share some words of wisdom with you. We always think we have to figure out everything by ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, we don't have all the answers.
Exactly. All right, so we'll finish off with what I call a top of the mountain moment, kind of looking back on your football journey and all that you've accomplished and went through in your football career. Do you have a favorite story, a favorite moment? I guess you gave some words of wisdom already, but how would you like to finish things off here?
Man, I would say, my favorite moment, it would have to be winning the first Super Bowl 32 against the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, it was crazy because my favorite moment in that game, I wasn't even on the field. I was during the end of the game, I had a collision where I hit one of the guys on my team, and I hit their receiver, Robert Brooks, And I knocked myself out, and we were all out. We had to come out of the game.
That's right. Yeah.
And I was on the sidelines, and I come on the sidelines after kind of getting dinged. I didn't realize that if we got off the field on that fourth down play, that we had won the game. And so I'm sitting there on my knee, on the knee, watching that fourth down play, and then John Mobley knocks the pass down, and I look back at the clock, and I'm like, "Wait, hey man,
we're gonna win.
we win." So that was my favorite moment. I can always just capture that moment and go back to it, and it just still brings me chills. And it's such a great moment.
That's awesome, awesome memory. So Steve, just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate your time. And yeah, for those who want to follow him, you can reach him on Twitter at Steve Atwater 27, and follow him there and see what he's doing. So Steve, thank you so much, and best of luck in the future.
Hey, thank you a lot. Thanks for having me on. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to After the Gridiron. If you're a fan of the show, please make sure you subscribe to the show and also leave a rating and review. By doing that, you also help to spread the word about the podcast and assist others in finding the show so more people can enjoy this great content. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, with the links to those being found on the website. Your support is very much appreciated. Also, please visit the resources page on the website for links to our sponsors and affiliates. Their support helps to keep the show running. So go to www.atgridiron.com/resources to check them out. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you when we kick off our next episode.